Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatamrita, Volume 1, Chapter 5, Text 53. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Drona Bhishmadi Gurava Vimanyo Pramukha Sukaha Parepi Bahava Santo Smadde Tur Nidanam Gata. It is our fault that many saintly persons met their demise, including venerable teachers like Drona and Bhishma, and sons like Abhimanyu. Commentary: this is why gaining the kingdom brought no happiness to the Pandavas. Most of their notable relatives, many of them saintly devotees of Krishna, had been killed in the conflict for sovereignty. Yudhisthira blamed himself for these deaths, since the war had been fought to install him on the throne. Om Gyana Timurandasya Gyanandana Salakaya Taksurun Mulatam Yena Asmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Varagya Yug Bhakti Risham Payatnai Apayama Manadipsa Mandam Kripambuhiya Paraduka Duki Sanatanastam Prabhumasayami. Vansha Kopa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, greetings from Sri Vrindavan Dham. I'll be here for another 10 days, and then I'll be on my way to Mayapur for 3 weeks, and then Puri, then back to Vrindavan for a month, end of February, returning to America. It's nice being here in December. Weather is quite nice still. I heard it's not that nice there on the East Coast. And when you get down to December, it just becomes the local residents. Occasional people visiting always, but it's just such a nice community of Vaishnavas. And I feel fortunate to at least spend some time of the year in a community of Vaishnavas. We're reading the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And the Pandavas have been praised by Narada Muni, who has bhakti. And the basis of bhakti is glorification of Krishna, and Krishna also means Krishna's devotee. It also means the desire to associate with very advanced souls, to pray for that, and to actively seek that. And that's what Narada Muni is doing. He's on a journey good association. You know, we should also be on that journey. There's nothing like good association. Because we're suffering due to ignorance, a lack of vision, and what cures that is knowledge. But knowledge which we are convinced is true because it's spoken by someone who practices what he preaches and understands the Shastras, the sacred texts, and can communicate them to you. So Narada is seeking those who have love for Krishna. When you become advanced in Krishna consciousness, your heart melts. And it melts by various attractions you have, ruchis or taste. The taste to please Krishna, the desire to please Krishna, the desire to be with Krishna. And the strong hope to attain Krishna's mercy. So here Narada is searching for the topmost recipient of Krishna's mercy. And what is that mercy? That mercy is Krishna's love. That's the real mercy. So who has Krishna's love? When you have Krishna's love, it means you love Krishna because it means responsive relationship. So when the Pandavas are glorified, now they're responding. And like all great devotees, they are not eager for praise. They have no desire for praise. That's not one of their tastes. Because when you have devotion, you're focused on the object of your devotion. And you've moved out of the center. And you don't have desire to be there. Because the center is not where love exists. The love exists on the periphery where one can serve. And the further one moves, the better it is for his consciousness. Dasa, 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 anudasa. The servant of the servant of the servant. And one who is moved in that position, his heart is very, very soft. And it's melted by humility. Bhurijan made a very wonderful point. I was really fortunate. I went out to Govardhan with him, and he stayed at my house that I have there now. And we spent the morning late morning with Gopi Pranadana discussing Shastra, and the evening with Partha Sarthi, and then Bhurijan and myself discuss evening and morning. That's what devotees do. Machatama kata prana bodhiyantas parasparam. When you Krishna's in your heart, you converse about him and discuss it. And Bhurijan made an interesting point that I think may be a little bit here also at the essence of Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And I think that point he made is the greater the distance there is between the object of love and your perceived qualification to achieve it, the more the heart melts. And we can understand in the opposite way. The more pride you have, the less emotion in love you have. the less your heart becomes soft. A humble person, their heart is soft. We discussed this many times. Without gratitude, there can be no experience of love. So, these great devotees, their hearts are very soft, and they don't really feel that they have love, and they can't identify with anything, that they're anything special. So this is actually the process of bhakti. The process of bhakti is a process of melting the heart. Where yoga is basically jnan, it deals with the mind. Bhakti deals with the heart. How do you move the heart? That's the secret. And everything that a devotee does, he does to soften the heart. Because that's what bhakti is. And therefore, a real devotee lives a life of prayer. Prayer is born out of humility. You don't pray out of pride. You pray out of humility. And therefore, a real devotee, with that intense desire to attain Krishna, but feeling his lack of qualification to do so, is always praying. Right now in Vrindavan, I started a new schedule for myself. Now, 2010 will be my 60th birthday. I guess I'm becoming a little old in age. Borijan said even some Indians are starting to call him Dadu. So we know that people are getting old. So I decided I really should take better care of my health. So I eat my first meal about 10 o'clock and then eat at 4. That's my routine. And then I take a walk in Vrindavan. And can't explain where I go, but it takes about 10 minutes. And I'm in the most beautiful paradise that anybody's ever seen. It's the flower gardens of Vrindavan that face the Jamuna. And there are just so many. It's like a jungle with beautiful trees and splashes of color and beautiful kunjas. And there's this, it's really amazing. I just discovered it. And there's this beautiful dirt road and these little wood gates where you open up these wood gates and you go into these little kunjas, and sometimes there's one man that's there, an old man. He comes there every day and he has a lemon tree and an amla tree and a papaya tree and a cow and a buffalo, and he sits. They're satisfied. They're satisfied in heart. These people are just so pure and satisfied. They have everything. And I sometimes walk with a friend of mine, a godbrother named Arjuna, and he has a habit of walking around with stacks of 10-rupee notes and giving to the sadhus. And he gives to these people. And, you know, it's like there's no desire on their part. And he's just giving them paper. They have real opulence. They have real wealth. But anyway, the mood is walking in Vrindavan is just prayer. Prayer to the dust of Vrindavan. So we're associating here in the Bhagavatamrita with these great hearts, these great souls. And therefore, in that mood, they don't take to praise well. It's not part of their agenda. It's not part of their objective. So we're going to read those verses. And anyway, it started with Yudhisthira
just thinking that Narada is just exaggerating. Just not the way he sees himself. Devotee doesn't see himself full, he sees himself empty. He's hungry. The more devotion you have, the more your hunger for Krishna increases. And the sense of hunger gives you a sense that I don't have what I'm looking for. So as the devotee increases in devotion, paradoxically appears like he has less of it. So he's hearing praise that you're an object of mercy, you're a great devotee. This is interesting. I'm just going to go on my computer. It's right before me. I thought of an interesting point to share. There's a very humble devotee that wants to come and do some service to me. Really, legitimately humble. And I asked him, how long have you been a devotee? And I loved his answer. He said, not even a day. It's a mindset. Not even a day. That's how great souls are. And therefore, he didn't identify with him being a devotee. But it's nice that Yudhisthira, Paradukaduki, he's has no unhappiness except the sadness of others. And he lamented and was distressed that because he suffered so much in his life, that people would become discouraged in devotional service. That's why Maharaj Yudhisthira sought the Rajasiya sacrifice. He wanted wealth to inspire faith in people that those who perform devotional service are successful, for the worldly-minded people to see that. But his wealth was pure, it was completely untainted, because everything was intended for the service of Krishna. And that's what makes something pure. That's why sometimes the material opulence can be alluring, because it has a voice that you're great, enjoy me. But matter loses its voice in the relationship with an advanced devotee, because the advanced devotee is looking consciously at everything in relationship with Krishna and meant for his service. Not for a second does the devotee develop a possessive mood towards anything or an attachment towards anything. He sees everything as Krishna. Someone gets married, he's a real devotee, he sees his wife as a maidservant of Krishna. Everything. And that's the cultivation. And it's not an artificial thing. And that was really, again, the purpose of, one of the purposes of deity worship, to center the life on Krishna. In the morning, I go to the temple after I do my deity worship. I go there about 8:30, and I go to Prabhupada Samadhi, then to the deities. When I go to the samadhi, I walk around the samadhi and I focus on Prabhupada's desire. and myself as an object of that desire, and bow my head and circumambulate, trying and praying to actually have that consciousness, to see things in relationship to the desire of God. So that's the mood of these devotees. So wealth could not contaminate the Pandavas because they saw everything intending to serve the service of Krishna. Now, responding further, the Arya's argument is that they're an object, that they are an object of Krishna's mercy. They start to see fault in themselves because in the war, so many of their venerable teachers were killed because the war was fought to instill him on the throne. Yudhisthira found himself guilty of the carnage and all the death that was created, and he's lamenting for that. So again, he thinks his situation is very unfortunate. Text 54. Svajivanadika partya Sri Vishnu jana sangite vichedena sinam chatta nasukam sa lapamhe. The company of those devotees of Sri Vishnu is more desirable to us than life itself. Deprived of that association, we can no longer find any happiness. So that's real. There's not what's more valuable than the association of a great soul, and what's more painful than to be in separation from them. I was thinking today about different, just when reading this verse, of different souls that have left, and I was thinking about some of the dear devotees I know. And what it would be like if they left. It's such a loss. I don't know anything more valuable than the association of saintly souls. And when I think of the few saintly souls that I get association with, and what I get from them in terms of their realization, and that's life, because we're suffering due to a lack of vision. And when you're in the association of a saintly person, you can actually get realization. And realization can change your life more than anything else. Realization can make you happy more than anything else. And that doesn't mean that the realization has to come just in terms of philosophy. It can come in terms of the life of a person. So that's sad for us to lose great souls. That's why Narottam Das Thakur cried, Yeyani O Brema Dana Karuna Prachu. Because they give you what you need, happiness, and happiness is prema, happiness is love. So we should not wait, someone said, to appreciate devotees after they left. So that's why I can identify this. Deprived of that association, we can no longer find happiness. There's no happiness in life. The only happiness is the association of great souls that give us a realization. And we cherish them and we miss them dearly. Sri Krishna Vandanam Bhoja Sandarshana Sukham Chitat Katachit Kaya Yogena
Tena Chitayate Chitta. We enjoy the pleasure of seeing Krishna's lotus face only once in a while, when after long time's absence he visits us on some business. So again, separation. We enjoy. This is our taste. This is what we enjoy, the pleasure of seeing Krishna's lotus feet. But it happens too infrequently. And how can we be such mercy? These are the hearts that we want. We want to pray somehow or other that we develop the heart of the devotee, softened by love for Krishna. Soft heart, that's a devotee. Moved by attachment to Krishna. Yadavan eva sadbandhum vakayam atasalvasam sadaparamasatbhagya tato ramiyati priyan. The Yadavas alone are his true friends, living always with them in Dwarka. He is always busy satisfying those dear and supremely fortunate friends. So I'm not fortunate. Krishna is with the Yadavas. They must be more favored. From time to time, you've observed him carrying messages, driving chariots, and doing other services for us. But he does these things only to absolve himself of his debt to us, destroy our sins, and protect our religious principles. Commentary. In addition to acting as the Pandavas messenger, charioteer, and general servant, Krishna also offered them advice as a royal counselor and killed irreligious miscreants on their behalf. But in Yudhisthira's opinion, the impartial Supreme Lord never acted out of preference towards the Pandavas. So he's saying it's not as a favor, but he was indebted. It was his duty. It was his duty to us, so we don't feel so special. Let me read one or two more verses. We'll have some more questions today. So now, as you remember in this Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it's spoken by Maharaj Prithit to his mother. His mother came in the last day, so he couldn't speak the 18,000 verses of the Bhagavatam. So he spoke this shortened version. And it doesn't mean it's a summary of the stories of the Bhagavatam. It means that it's the message of the Bhagavatam. And realized souls can shape that message in innumerable ways to communicate that message effectively in an unlimited variety of circumstances. So the Bhagavatam has many shapes. It's a very, very living thing. It's not stagnant. It's not just ink. It's not just paper. It's Krishna. And it manifests in many, many ways. So Prithit is telling it to his mother. He's explaining it. So he continued. Then Bhima, the bosom friend of Krishna, the Lord of the Yadavas, laughed loudly and said, "Please listen, my dear disciple of Sri Krishna." The word Narma denotes natural joking between intimate friends. Bhima was so intimate with Krishna that Bhima could pretend to discern in Narada's character the faults the sage had acquired in Krishna's association. For example, Narada must have learned from Krishna how to cleverly juggle the meaning of words, just as Krishna always juggled words himself. So he doesn't take it too seriously, his praise, I guess. So this is what Bhima says. Krishna is the original source of illusion, the guru of all clever deceivers. His acts are fathomless like the ocean. We have little faith in the many crafty things he says and does. Doesn't he have all sorts of motives? Commentary. Maya means magic, and it also means material nature, the source of illusion in the material world. Krishna is the source of Maya in both senses of the word. In Bhima's opinion, Krishna is too unpredictable and deceptive to trust. Sometimes Krishna acts for his personal enjoyment. Sometimes he manufactures illusions out of mere curiosity, and sometimes he uses his wit to intentionally bewilder his devotees. In any case, his motive is never simple affection, and the games he plays are not real. Since Bhima and his brothers are experienced men of the world, they're not going to put trust in any behavior. So I guess it's just the same thing in another sweet way, that your words cannot be true. They cannot be true. It's like magic is not true. Like this material world is not true. It's true, but it presents an illusion. It's not that the world is false, but what we think it is an illusion. And that this world has that potency to do that to us. And who's the origin of all that? The origin is Krishna. So Krishna is the origin of Maya, and therefore the guru of all clear deceivers, clever deceivers. We have little faith in his crafty words. So why should we believe him? An intimate friend can speak like this because they have an intimate relationship with Krishna. But somehow or other, this recurrent theme comes. And it's the core consciousness of the devotee is that he is focused on the desires of Guru and Krishna. And he doesn't have any personal desires for aggrandizement or praise. And he always deflects that. It's not his objective or goal. It's a real, real shift. What Krishna consciousness means is surrender. You have to surrender. And when you surrender, then you can begin pure devotional service. Long discussion with Borijan about this, dispersed anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karma. What is uttama bhakti? It's when one acts to please Krishna, or pleases Krishna, and his acts are with the intent to please Krishna, and it's unmixed with any other desires. And that consciousness in which one does things for Krishna. And bhakti means sincerity. Bhakti means love. You're doing an activity without any desire, without any objective to get anything for yourself. So when devotion is performed in that way, it's very, very powerful. But if one is not surrendered, that's not pure, it means surrender, then that consciousness that indicates our consciousness is, that consciousness is mixed or
or contributes to the attitude in which we do things in general. So that's how bhakti begins. Pariksit continued, "Then, dear mother, my grandfather Sriman Arjuna, the intimate friend of Krishna, dejectedly spoke, sighing again and again." So Arjuna is a different type of friendship, and the Bhagavatam is about rasa. It's about this perfect love that the divine is a divine loving force, and this is ultimately what's happening. The ultimate reality is God exchanging rasa with his devotees. So this is also part of it. So Arjuna has a particular flavor of friendships. He has a particular flavor of friendship that's a little bit different than Bhima's. And he's expressing it, and that's the pleasure of God. Our pleasure is to enjoy a variety of love, and God enjoys a variety of love. And it's not that they're acting. There's a natural magnetism between Krishna and his devotees. That's what prema is. It's the magnetism. It's the attraction between the soul and God. And that attraction is an energy of divine, blissful love. That's what bhakti is. Bhakti is an energy of God that's put within the hearts of the devotees, which, when naturally expressed, causes God more pleasure than his own internal pleasure. It is the blissful potency, and it's put in the hearts of the devotees. And it's a very, very spontaneous thing. This is what Arjuna said. Bhagavan, he's called many times. Oh, godly Narada, the great mercy your beloved Lord supposedly bestowed upon us has in fact become the curse of our souls. Of our sorrow. Commentary. Previous commentary. Bhima was Krishna's Narmasaka, the Lord's bosom friend, but Arjuna was Krishna's Pranasaka. That is, Krishna and Arjuna were dearer to one another than life. Arjuna was glorious, Sriman, blessed by the goddess of fortune because of his intimate friendship with Krishna. It was painful for Arjuna to think about the friend he now rarely saw. Arjuna's relationship with Krishna is more intimate than Bhima's, where Bhima discounted Krishna's kindness as a mere pretense that served other aims of his pastimes. Arjuna had to acknowledge that Krishna's affection for the Pandavas was real. According to Arjuna, Krishna's intentions when he drove Arjuna's chariot and served the Pandavas in various ways was sincere, yet somehow the results always seem contrary. Are there any questions?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Gail.
Hi, Gail. Hare Krishna.
I can speak. You spoke a word and I couldn't make it out what you were saying. When you were saying that, what's valuable in sadhu sangha is the realizations that you get because of how they affect your life. And you said it's not just realization through philosophy, it's the realization through something like the life of the devotee, or
I'll tell you, there's two ways that you get realization from someone. One, they speak words
one, you see their life. So it's not just that they affect you, and they do. They have words. It's not even have to be very high philosophy. A person just may have deep realization and conviction. And when things are said with conviction, they affect you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just the words of a person. It's how they live their life that's so inspirational. I mean, just like when I walked in the country, it's really, I've never been there, but it's, you go down the Prikram path, for those of you who are there, you go past the Krishna Balaram tree, and then instead of going to the right towards the Goshala and Madan Mohan, you take a left, and you walk about 50 yards, and then you make another right towards the Jamuna, and they're the most beautiful gardens I've ever seen in the world. And these very self-satisfied, peaceful people. It's like they don't want anything because they have everything. When you have a simple, peaceful mind and it's filled with love for Krishna, then that's it, you're satisfied. But when I see these people, even a simple man has no sense of defending. He didn't say anything. I walked into his place. He just, an old man, simply smiled and offered me, he had a beautiful lemon tree. Oh. And he said, please take a lemon. Please take this. I was so undisturbed. So just seeing him gave me realization. I immediately understood, oh, woe is me. I'm so complex. I'm so complicated. So many imprints, so many impressions have come into my consciousness and still do. And this person just sits under the trees in Vrindavan with his cows and is just internally just completely satisfied. He has everything he wants in life, and there's no other desires. I get realization. He didn't speak to me. So there's devotees that we just see the way they live. And you get so much inspiration.
Mm-hmm. That
okay,
place, yeah, what's the name? Is that just Vrindavan, or does that place have a special name?
Where I went today?
That idyllic place that looks like paradise.
It's Vrindavan, but it's not what most people see.
Yeah.
And I haven't even seen it. I don't know why.
Mm.
I mean, actually, it's amazing, too, because these paths, I don't really know where they're going to lead. And they sometimes lead to little barbed wire fences, but there's a splash of marigolds and colors and just light in the sand. It's just very beautiful. And I'm not even sure how to pay. I got to get, but when I walk through there and sometimes over this and there, and I get to this dirt path, and then I take a right on that path, and it goes all the way out towards this, like near Kaliagat, where Krishna killed the Kaliya serpent. But it's parallel to the Prikram path. And it's Vrindavan, but it's Vrindavan what I would expect Vrindavan to be, not what it has become externally, which is quite urbanized and covered. But so far, I've been walking there.
I just had one other point of clarification.
Yeah,
when you were explaining why, because Arjuna was has so much of a deeper friendship than Bhima, he was able to not dismiss Krishna's, you know, acts of service toward them as merely, you know, he wasn't minimizing it. So I didn't understand how his friendship, you know, made him interpret Narada's words differently. You know, this last point that you were making.
Oh,
Well, he was just saying that well, first of all, Bhima was joking.
Yeah, okay. All right.
So that's one thing. And Arjuna just said directly that, you know, we did receive mercy, but somehow the results were contrary. You were kind to us, but our life just still suffered. I mean, I guess it was just, I don't know really why. I mean, in this particular section, I guess the main thing is they're not really understanding in other words, they're saying, well, I don't know what mercy we received. We're nothing special. Then Arjuna somehow would say, well, okay, he had affection for us. It was real. He's discounting Bhima's joking. It's real. But he's saying that still it was the cause of so much sorrow. And then that's going to be explained in the following verses.
Okay. Thank you.
Anybody else like to ask a question? You know, my style is as I speak as long as there's inspiration. Sometimes, you know, because here it's morning there, but it's at night, and I actually go to bed a lot earlier than even the class. Not a lot earlier than the class, but so maybe sometimes a little fatigue. Not fatigue that wants me not to speak, but maybe goes the brain a little bit that maybe the flow doesn't continue as long as I want. So maybe today it just ended a little early. But if anybody would like to say hello, it would be nice to hear it from some people. And if anybody could think of a question, I'll continue.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Okay, Josh. Tickets are purchased. You know, that's all set.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and it really looks like it's going to be a wonderful Puri Yatra. You know, I mean, I just... you know, one very nice godmother that you really like a lot, you know, really nice person. He comes to all my classes here. He told me that, you know, he's, you know, also been fun. So, there's a lot of nice people coming. We're going to have a really good time. You know.
Thank you, boss.
Okay. Is that Amya said hello? Hare Krishna.
Yes. Mahara Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances. Thank you for class this morning.
Okay. Great. It's the snow's pretty heavy there, huh?
Yes, it is. It really snowed a lot last night, and it was like a whiteout. It was a very small type of snowflake. Nothing
could
even see across the street, you know. But your flower garden sounds exquisite. It sounds absolutely wonderful.
It doesn't affect you because you have a nice apartment high up.
That's true. I'm right. Tremendously comfortable. Probably.
I always liked, you know, kind of snow means, or winter means it's kind of get outside, so it's time to go inside.
Get the apartment organized, get oneself organized.
Not that it's time to be internal.
Yes, and, yes, that's part of it.
Yeah. Okay, anybody else like to say hello?
Thank you, Maharaj.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Lopakisha.
Who's that?
Lopakisha.
Oh, Gopa, okay.
Thanks for the last month. Nice to hear about Vrindavan while me and Narayan are out here shoveling snow.
You and Narayan are shoveling snow?
Yes, over a foot of snow.
How much did it snow there?
Probably like 14 inches, maybe, something like that.
What? Wow. 14 inches?
Somewhere around there.
Well, that's a lot. We should actually probably put that program that I'm going to give at your house in motion soon, you know.
Okay.
Might as well let people know about it, you know. I guess, yeah. It's how far away? It's, what, 2 months away?
2 months.
Less. Well,
yeah,
about
2 months. Yeah, that's 2 months.
No. It's 3 months away, right?
Okay. Oh, yeah, 2.5.
Okay. Well, anyway, maybe you can wait a while. Whatever you think is best. Okay, nice to hear from you, Gopa.
Thank you.
Great. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj.
Anytime. Right, hey. Hare well. Good.
I'm all in Seva. Yeah.
What? Oh, okay. My greetings, everyone there. I will, I'm kind of fixed to come to Washington. I don't know if Henry told you.
Yeah, we're excited.
Around time there. And that lady from that mindfulness center, you know, she wants me to speak there. That'd be a good thing to check out, really. You can look her on. I don't know if you ever checked the website.
I did, yeah, it looks great. I think it'll be, anyway, it's like a whole new world opening up.
Well, let's hope, but right now it's a very favorable thing. And nice to hear from you, and great. My greetings to your family. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, good morning.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Chris in Pennsylvania.
Hey, Chris, how you go?
Terrible.
The snowed in there like anything, too. I can imagine.
Yeah, we got almost a foot here.
Okay. Well, okay, great. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Henry.
Hey, how you go, Henry?
How you go?
Finalizing all that. Okay, great. Okay. I guess I'm going to go, and I'm taking Janava, Mahatma, and family to Govardhan tomorrow.
Ooh.
Anyway, I promised I would take them. They're here with their daughter and some other very nice young girl from where they live. And they'll stay out at Govardhan because one of our godbrothers has a place out there. It's beautiful. It's a whole 50, 60-acre complex. Believe it or not, you can't go up there by car. There's golf carts that drive you to your house. But, it's hard to say if it's less Vrindavan or more because it's so clean and so many beautiful flowers and gardens. And so that's happening there in Govardhan, too. So I'll do that tomorrow. Okay, it's so nice to hear from everyone. And I deeply wish you all a happy and prosperous new year from Vrindavan. Thank you all. Hare Krishna. Om Shukalpa Tarubhya Shah Kripa Sindhu Vaivya Shah Satita Hare Krishna.